الرحمن الرحيم. عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بسيدنا ومولانا أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام، وجعلنا الله وإياكم من الطالبين بثأره بين يدي الإمام المنصور المؤيد المهدي من آل محمد. اللهم صل. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا ناجيتم الرسول فقدموا بين يدي نجواكم صدقة ذلك خير لكم وأطهر فإن لم تجدوا فإن الله غفور رحيم. إمام علي بن أبي طالب عليه السلام has some of the most wonderful verses revealed about him in the Quran concerning his generosity. If ever you wanted to see the meaning of a charitable personality in the history of the religion of Islam, and a man who at every opportunity sought to give away from himself, then look no further than the verses revealed about Imam Ali alayhi salam within the Quran. We know very well that the religion of Islam continuously stresses on the importance of being charitable. There are many around us in the world where one act of charity can make a huge difference to their lives. That act of charity does not only have to come by giving them a dinar or a dirham. It can come in the form of a smile. If I see somebody, for example, sitting in the middle of the streets of London in the middle of the night, and I see them beggars, or I see them homeless, well, the reality is that this person also has the same heart I have. When I fall into pain, they also fall into pain. And when I'm happy, they're also happy. And it's normally the same things that bring us happiness. Therefore, if I see somebody on the streets and it's a cold night like the nights we see around us tonight, then it's my duty to come towards this person and to try and give them something from myself. Even if all I have, for example, is a pound coin, even that is sufficient. But you'll find that some people, when they come towards understanding charity, show how even the Quran says a smile is an act of charity. That if I see somebody, for example, who's facing a lot of difficulties, then my smile may make a difference to them. And that's why they say that even a good word is an act of charity. Where you ask somebody, how are you? How many times have you seen someone homeless? If you ask them how they're doing, or you ask them, for example, if they need anything, it can make a whole difference to a day where they've been completely neglected. In the Quran, you therefore find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in addressing charity, sometimes uses the word sadaqah, sometimes uses the word zakat. But when you examine all of these verses, you find that Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam is central to all of them. Because every question concerning charity, he answers. Should I publicly show I'm giving charity? He answers the question. Should I privately only give charity? He answers the question. Should I give in the daytime? Should I give in the nighttime? All of these are questions that we all ask each other. Like, should I mention my name when I give charity? What if I see someone on the streets who may be a lady who has a bad reputation? Should I help her? What if I see someone in the community who asks me for help,
But that person may have had a bad reputation in the past. Should I help them? All of these you find answered with verses revealed in honor of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Let's tonight examine the verses of generosity, of selflessness, and of charity in honor of Imam Ali alayhi salam in the Quran. The first of them is known as Ayat al-Najwa. If you go online and type Ayat al-Najwa, you will see that one of the greatest verses was revealed in honor of an act of charity from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Which one? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon his family, used to sit down and people used to come and sit with him. Some of them would come and sit with him to simply chill. They want to chill around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Others wanted to come and sit with him because they wanted secret advice. Sometimes Najwa may be this idea of a particular council that at times may be secret, but I want to sit next to the Prophet and I need some advice from him, or I want some questions answered from him. If I were to ask all of you, if you were told that you've got to pay, for example, to sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, how many of you would be ready to pay? If now someone told you that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is in London or in your area in the world and he is welcoming people to come and sit with him, would you be ready to pay or not? There are many who will say, Ya laytana kunna ma'ak. But the reality is when that moment comes, they'll ask, is there any way of getting a bargain if I get my two kids in here as well? You'll find that people will all of a sudden start making excuses, because when something is free, every human being wants. Whereas when something you have to pay, that's when the litmus test comes. In the time of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon his family, some of these, of the richer members of the community, they would hog that particular area. Some of the poorer members of the community were saying, Baba, is there any way that we could sit? Some of the poorer members of the community would be the ones who'd queue up. You know, it's the worst feeling if you're queuing up for something and you've been queuing for a while and then all of a sudden someone, because of their position, gets ahead of you. I must admit, I've seen it myself that we're queuing up somewhere, for example, for a dinner. And when people see you, for example, and you don't mind, listen, I'll start from the back. Honestly, sometimes it stopped me even from attending some of these dinners, because it's embarrassing when people bring you all the way to the front, Sayyidina, you must. And you're seeing people who have queued up and they're looking at you thinking, you know what, these Mawlanas get away with everything. But the reality is that what happens is that some of these, of the richer members of the community, they were the ones who were hogging the time of the Prophet. The poorer ones can't say anything, because when you see the rich in your community, sometimes you think, if I say something, what will the people say? If I say something, the people will turn around and say, that who are you? What money do you have? Because a lot of people, their ID is their money. If you take their money away from them, they're worthless. I've seen people in my own career, their whole identity is their money. Take the money away from them, this person has offered zero. Zero. No contribution in terms of intellect, in terms of the spreading of the word of God. All they have is money, or they have time to gossip. Nothing else. They won't offer anything. And that's why you find them as people with hardly any friends. Because these types of people, when they would come and sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the poor would want to get a word in edgeways. The Prophet as well was feeling uncomfortable. Why? Because he wants some of these poorer members of the community to sit with him as well. He can see that they're being daunted as well. And he knew as well that these richer folk would never even give time. You know, sometimes what you would say is, Bismillah. You know, you would say, go ahead, have the ijazah. But there'll be some people who plainly will not put you ahead of them. So therefore, this became a very difficult situation. What's the best way to make sure that a person doesn't hog your time? Tell them, pay. Muslims, if there is an event which is for free, there is no space. Tell them to pay for an event. If you now have done a conference for Muslims, you'll find that if the conference is for free, they'll all turn up. Put a little price on the ticket, say £15, £20, £25. You'll see some of them will turn up, but a lot will make all sorts of excuses. Wallah, I've got work. Wallah, I'm busy. The moment it becomes free, what does everyone do? Bro, I'll make it. I'll see you there. Why? Because sometimes, subhanAllah, it highlights within yourself, are you someone who has got a charitable, generous disposition or not? There are some people who recognize life is too short. If I've got a chance to go to a conference where there's 7, 8, 10, 12 speakers, I can benefit from their lectures. Who cares if I'm paying $50 or $100? There's others, no. There's others who are the other extreme. Why are you even paying these people? You shouldn't pay any of these people. They should come, they should prepare all of that preparation, and they should give us their service for free. So what happened was, when this was the case, where these rich wouldn't move, the Quran revealed the verse. Surah 58, verse number 12. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who claim to have iman. You all claim to be mu'min. Idha najaytum ar-rasoola. If you want to have secret counsel with the Prophet, فَقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ نَجْوَاكُمْ صَدَقَةً. Come and pay sadaqah. As soon as it said, come and pay sadaqah, there was suddenly space. All of a sudden, where's all the companions gone? Not one of them paid. It's the poor, you could say. The poor, who did they give sadaqah to? They're poor. The rich, you would expect them to turn around and be of the ones who would straight away pay. Where's the rich companion? Not there. You, not there. This guy, not there. This guy, not there. Even though the Quran said, ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَأَطْهَرٌ. This is good for you and purifies you. Why? Why is giving sadaqah good for you? Because giving sadaqah, you put pleasure into the heart of another human being. You help another human being. You look after the cause of another human being. Even if you want to look at sadaqah selfishly, you make sure that you burn away some of your sins. You make sure that bala, calamities, do not hit your family. How many times do you find people say, I pay sadaqah before I leave the house? It's good for us. The Quran said, ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَأَطْهَرٌ, and purifies you. Why? Because we have diseases which are physical, but we have diseases which are spiritual. I have a disease which is physical, which may be affecting my body. I go to the pharmacy to try and find some sort of purifier. And then I have a disease which is what? I have a disease then which is spiritual. Envy, lust, arrogance, hypocrisy. These are diseases which are what? These are diseases which are spiritual. What is it that purifies these diseases? What purifies these diseases are an act like paying sadaqah. Therefore, when the Quran said what? When the Quran said, come and pay sadaqah, the Quran wanted us to purify ourselves. The Quran wanted that which was good for us. How many people do you think were able to pay sadaqah? How many? Nobody paid. Nobody paid sadaqah. All of them, you've got the chance to sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All you have to do is you take that sadaqah and you go and give it, for example, to one of the poor, one of the masakeen, one of the needy. None of them paid except one man. Only one man came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, his family, and he said, I will be the one who pays sadaqah. You know what he did? Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam says, I am the only one who acted on ayat al-Najwa. Everybody else, when they were told to pay sadaqah, never came back to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi. Why? I've got to pay, forget paying. If the man's available for free, I'll chill with him. Whereas if the man, I have to pay, no way. Imam Ali said, on the other hand, no way. I pay, this man is priceless. If you got all the treasures of the heavens and the earth to sit with this man, there is no honor like that. So therefore, what you found is that Imam Ali alayhi salam, what did he do? He had a gold coin, according to some narrations. He went and sold it and got silver coins in the place of that gold. How much? If you say a piece of gold coin is worth, you divide that into taking silvers, and you went around. Every time he asks the Prophet a question, he says to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, what is haq? What is haq? What is the truth? He said, Islam and the book and the wilaya, if it is with you. He said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, what is success? So what would he do? He asks a question. He pays sadaqah, asks a question. Pays sadaqah, asks a question. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, what is success? He said, to eat halal and to always tell the truth. That is success. Make sure that whatever food you eat is halal. How that food has got into your stomach is halal. How that food was slaughtered is halal. The money for buying that food is halal. All of that, he said, as well as what? As well as always telling the truth. Ya Rasulullah, what is loyalty? Pay sadaqah. What is is there a treasure chest like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? He said, I who has no knowledge, people sometimes sit with me, they want to sit for some time to ask questions. Can you imagine if someone told you, you have to pay sadaqah to sit with Rasul, what would you do? People would sell their houses. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, none of them came and paid that sadaqah. Even the Quran said, if you're poor and you can't pay, that's something else. فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. If you don't have, God is all forgiving. But if you do have, then what is it that's stopping you? أَأَشْفَقْتُمْ أَن تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ نَجْوَاكُمْ صَدَقَاتٍ. What is the fear inside you that's stopping you from giving from yourself? A, sadaqah will go to the poor. B, you get a time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Question, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want this to happen? Because he wanted more of an equality between the rich and the poor. Where the rich realize that, listen, this religion is not just for you. The poor have every position as you have in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Number two, it was going to show which one is the hypocrite, which one is the believer. Because the hypocrite, you could sit next to me now and you can say to me, Salaamu Alaikum Sayyidina, how are you? Good to see you. But we know that the hypocrite can say all these things to you, but they're liars. The real test of who the munafiq was and who was the true emir of the mu'mineen was who was the one who was ready to pay sadaqah to gain knowledge from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, and you could go and read the books of Tafasir. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen says, I am the only one who, when Ayat al-Najwa was revealed for a payment to be made, I was the only one who made that payment. The moment Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen made that payment and he got his questions, Allah abrogated the ayah. No more. You don't have to do it anymore. Because there was only one man amongst you who was ready to do it. That's the difference between you and everybody else. The difference between the son of Abu Talib and everybody else around him is that he never thinks twice if it's for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He doesn't think twice if it's for the religion of Islam. Everybody else, sadaqah, shall we? Do they deserve to get paid? How much are they charging? Are you sure we should pay them? Are you sure we should give them? Are you sure you should pay for ilm? No. If I'm gonna be getting ilm from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, then this life, what is it all about? The reality is I'm getting time with the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why, in honor of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals an ayah highlighting that, do you know what this man is? This man is the very nafs of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The amount that he loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and the amount that he's gained from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and the amount that he's given to the religion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, this man became the nafs of Muhammad. What do I mean the nafs? He became the very self of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Someone says, show me in the Quran, in the ayah of Mubahala. In the ayah of Mubahala, when the Christians of Najran came to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, when they came to meet the Holy Prophet, they were the Christian community. They came to him. They said to him a number of questions. All of you know the story. But the point of the story is what? Is that Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, because of his selflessness, he became the nafs of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. In the Quran, not in hadith. In the Quran, when the Christians came, they said to the Prophet, who is the father of Moses? He said, Imran. And who's the father of Jesus? And who's the father of Ismail, Ibrahim? And who is the father of Yusuf, Ya'qub? And who's Jesus' father? And the Prophet said, Jesus had no father. They said, no, Jesus must be the son of God. And the Prophet replied, Inna mathala Isa indallahi kamathali Adam khalaqahu min turab thumma qala lahu kun fayakun. The example of Jesus in the eyes of God is like that of Adam. He creates Adam without a father, without a mother even. So if you're saying Jesus should be the son of God because he had no father, Adam didn't even have a mother or a father. So who deserves to be the son of God? But we created him and we said be, and it will be. The Christians came forward. They said that we want to enter a mubahala.
Mubahala means what? A mubahala means that we invoke God's curse on whichever of the two groups is a disbeliever or are the disbelievers. All the Muslim community was waiting to see which man would Allah describe as the nafs, not sahabi. Sahabi means that you are one of a group of companions. Nafs means that your soul and the soul of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi are aligned with one another. Your nur and his nur is from one nur created years before Adam. When all the companions were waiting, why? Because the Quran said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah 3, verse 61. فَمَنْ حَاجَّكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ فَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. When they dispute with you, when the knowledge has come to them, this is the direct translation. So say to them, come, we'll bring our sons, you bring your sons. We'll bring our woman, you bring your woman. We'll bring ourselves, you bring yourselves. Then we'll invoke the curse of God on the liars. Okay? The moment that this was said, the Christians all got together. They had to get the best of the best. And the Muslims got together. The Muslims were thinking, who's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to take as his sons? But that was going to be pretty obvious, considering the Prophet, peace be upon his family, did not have sons. But he took Hassan and Hussein because they are his sons. As Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas would say, I am the son of Ali, they are the sons of Muhammad. Therefore, as his sons, he took Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein. The Quran said, Nisa'ana, in the plural. So many ladies were around at that time. The Prophet, at the revelation of this ayah, was married to at least four wives. He could have taken any of his wives. Who of his wives was married to him at the revelation of this ayah? The likes of Aisha was married to him. Zainab was married to him. Habiba was married to him. Salama was married to him. Hafsa was married to him. The Quran said, Nisa'ana, bring your woman. He could have brought so many ladies with him. He took Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Because she is the greatest lady. Sayyidat Nisa' al-Alameen. But then the Quran said something. You know when you say abna, sons, yeah, woman, yes. If the next line was something like cousins or companions, no, the next line was huge. And bring the man you see a resemblance between your nafs and his. Which man amongst your thousands of companions, and there were 10,000 or more living in Medina at that time, which man amongst your companions is your nafs, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Which man is it? Who is asking for this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Nisa'ana nisa'akum, anfusana anfusakum. Say to them that bring yourself, we bring ours. Who did he take with him as himself? Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And that's why Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, when Muawiyah said to him, why don't you curse Ali son of Abu Talib? He said, because of the ayah where Ali was the nafs of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. How can I as a Muslim curse a person who the Quran called the nafs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? And that's why, because he was the nafs of Muhammad, that means his generosity is the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Do you agree? Look at the ayahs in the Quran which are revealed about his generosity. First of them, Surah 2, verse 274 of the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alladhina yunfiquna amwalahum. There are those who spend their wealth. Bil-layli, in the night. Wal-nahari, in the day. Sirran, secretly. Wa'alaniyatan, and what? Publicly. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عَنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There are those who give away from their wealth charitably. They spend from their wealth charitably. Four different moments. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ, in the night. That you go out and you see that maybe there is a poor man in the streets of Kufa. Maybe there are innocent people on the streets who have no one to look after them in the middle of the night. The Quran says there are those who spend their wealth in the night.
والنهار. Someone says, how do you give away your wealth in nahar, in the daytime? Maybe you know there's a friend of yours has a shop or a restaurant. It's not doing too well. So you go there and you pretend that you're there to buy some food, but reality is you just want their business moving. Isn't that true? So what you do is you put an extra tip to make sure that that month's rent might be helped. That month's rent might be solved. So you found the Quran said, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِالْلَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. And what else? سِرًّا, secretly. سِرًّا. When you go and give with no one knowing. You don't tell the whole community about it. What you do is that you have a family, for example. And do you know how many families we have in our communities? Even here in London, there are families who are struggling financially. I know Sadat, families of Sadat, where they cannot afford the expenses for living because of COVID. Sadat. And we know very well that the khums is divided, sahm al-imam and sahm al-sadat. Sahm al-imam, you take an ijazah from your marja. Sahm al-sadat, no. You can give it to these families. I know families in London. People think that because we live in London and in Iraq, people are oppressed, no doubt. In Yemen, people are oppressed, no doubt. In Lebanon, people are oppressed, no doubt. In Syria, people are oppressed, no doubt. Even in London, sometimes a crisis hits a whole family, but people are embarrassed. So the Quran said, there are those of you, you give your wealth secretly. You don't tell anyone. No one knows you're looking after four families. Nobody knows you're going after families who are oppressed, families who have difficulties. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً. وَعَلَانِيَةً means what? Means that they also publicly show their giving. Once we had a discussion, me and my good friend, we had a discussion. Should we publicly say we're giving? Or should we say banda khuda? Or servant of God? You know, sometimes people say, I don't want my name mentioned. Say I'm giving a donation for £10,000 or £5,000, as I'm sure, inshallah, all of you will give to Imam Hussein TV tonight, inshallah, in the name of Imam Ali alayhi salam. But you say that I want to give a donation. Some people say, I don't want to put my name. The Quran said, there are those who give in the night, those who give in the day, those who give secretly, and those who give publicly in front of everyone. Why? Because you'll encourage your stingy friends to do it. Because sometimes we have friends who are stingy. I have the same house as you. How comes I can give and you can't? Even someone said, but Sayyidina, I'm not going to tell everybody. No, there are some, true, they don't tell anybody. There are others, you have to beg them when they're on six figures to give £50 to a majlis. I've seen in London, for example, in London, there are friends of mine who I grew up with, six figures they're on and more. Their donation back to a majlis, you'd be lucky over 10 nights if they give £50 to £100. They're on earning more than £100,000. They're earning more than £100,000. When there is a majlis happening and they could see a group of youth who are coming together, or they could see television channels trying to serve on nights like this, you will find many of them will say, okay, you know what, give 50, give 20, give 100. Baba, you're earning over 100 grand. You give 50 back. Yeah, you don't have self-respect. Yani we spend £50 in some places, some restaurants, people spend £50 on a starter. It may not be haram, but it does become, if you're not going to give back towards your religion, towards your community, towards those who are working and striving, and even towards the poor. And Imam Ali alayhi salam would make it clear, if there's a Christian begging in the street and it's nighttime, don't come and tell me it's a Christian. When he saw that Christian on the street, and he would turn around and he would say, how have we reached the stage where this person, when he was working for us for the state and he used all his power, now he's on the street begging? Come and give him. This ayah, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ when? Layli, النهار, سِرًّا, عَلَانِيَةً. This ayah was revealed in honor of Imam Ali alayhi salam. That when Imam Ali had four dirhams or four dinars on him, in the night time he gave one, in the daytime he gave a second, then in secret and then in public, Allah revealed an ayah to honor the man's generosity. That, do you know why I call him the nafs of Muhammad? Because in the same way you saw the heart of Rasulullah was the softest heart, you want to go after Rasulullah to the softest heart? Go to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Because Ali ibn Abi Talib will live his life where if the people in Yamama or those in Kufa or those in Basra are poor, he will live like those people. He will not accept to sleep in the night if there are others in parts of the Muslim empire who are facing difficulty sleeping in the night. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, middle of the night, the whole world is asleep. And mind you, this is all Ahl al-Bayt, not just Amir al-Mu'mineen. But Amir al-Mu'mineen's generosity in particular. Imam in the middle of the night, even Shahar Ramadan, all of us are concerned about our sahri or our suhoor. Ali ibn Abi Talib is in the middle of the night going around giving people food. Doesn't announce to everybody that I'm going around giving people food. But there are homeless. I want to make sure that those homeless have got something which is going in their stomach for their suhoor the way we have for ourselves. And that's why in our communities you have wonderful initiatives like this, where you have people who make sure that nobody goes to sleep without iftar or suhoor. Therefore, Imam Ali alayhi salam, even on nights like this in the holy month of Ramadan, nighttime gives, daytime gives, secretly gives, publicly he would give. That was one ayah. Another ayah that was revealed in honor of Imam Ali alayhi salam giving away charity was which one? The Prophet was given 300 gold coins one day, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He gave them to Imam Ali alayhi salam. As you know, Imam Ali, some of his sacrifices and other companions meant that they were given a certain stipend from the Prophet. Imam Ali alayhi salam was known for one thing: you give me, I give away. You give, I give. Wasn't the type of person who, for example, would want to just keep it with him all the time. Not that it's haram to plan. A person can plan for their future. He himself says, live in this world like you're going to live in it forever. But plan for the day of judgment as if it's tomorrow. But Imam got those 300 gold coins. The moment he got those 300 gold coins, he could have easily thought, you know what, let me make an investment. But he decided his best investment was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He looked around. He said, you know what I'm going to do? Every night after Salat al-Isha, I'm going to leave the mosque, I'm going to give it to the first person I see. Give what? Every night, 100 gold coins. So three nights in a row, I'm going to give 100 gold coins. On the first night when Imam Ali alayhi salam left, there was literally a lady standing in front of him. Imam said, here you go. And he went home. Oh Allah, accept this act. The next morning, rumors going around Medina. Ali ibn Abi Talib gives his money to a lady who is known for her zina. This lady was a known adulteress. And she had gone around telling everybody that when Ali ibn Abi Talib left the mosque, this is how I got these 100 gold coins. So everybody went around and said, look who Ali ibn Abi Talib gives his money to. These ladies who commit zina with everybody. Imam Ali was despondent. It affected him. That I gave this lady because I had made a vow that I would give the first person I see. This lady was there in front of me. Medina was saying, look where he gives his money. Because sometimes even with us, I'm not going to give it to that person. He's drunk. I'm not going to give it. He's dirty. Baba, you go sit with them. Offer them an opportunity. Sometimes a person needs one opportunity in life. That's it. The next day, Imam Ali, alayhi salam, decided the second 100, I'm going to get them. He walks out, he gives it to this guy in front of him. Now the guy doesn't look like someone who's committing sin or anything. Next morning, rumor goes around town. What is it? Imam Ali only gives money to thieves. That guy had been known as a thief of the community. And people were saying, you see who he gives his money to? He gives to the adulterers and he gives to the thieves. Sometimes such people's rumors do stop people from giving charity. But if you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the nafs of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi gave it to everybody, you found Imam Ali the third day was not to be affected. He came out, he saw this man, he gave him the 100 gold coins. The rumors were going mad in Medina. Ali ibn Abi Talib gives to the adulteress, gives to the thief. And who did the third guy turn out to be? One of the richest men in Medina. Why would he need to be given? Ali ibn Abi Talib, because that man's rich, he gives him. When all of this went around, Imam Ali said to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, have you heard what the people have said about me? They said that I give money only to the ladies who commit zina. And I give money to the thieves. And I only give to the rich. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi replied back to him, oh Ali, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has seen what they've said and has revealed an ayah in your honor in the Quran. Which one? Surah 24, verse 37 of the Quran. Rijalun, there are men. لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة. There are those men who do what? Who merchandise and trade. Do not stop them or affect them in giving back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or establishing salah, or giving zakat. يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. They fear a day when the hearts and the eyes will be moving. So when they get that money, they don't want to hoard it. They want to give back straight away because they know there's a day you're going to be asked about every penny you spent and how you spent it and how you earned it. So here, this ayah was revealed that there are men. Merchandise and trade. Because the first thing you do, if you've got 300 gold coins, first thing you say, investment, crypto, bank, stocks, whatever. You may have that right. It's not haram. But Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam wanted to show you as well that maybe one day when you get a good payout, maybe go looking for the poor of your community. And don't be judgmental. Imam could have easily turned around and said, oh, you commit zina, astaghfirullah, I can't give you money. Do you know what happened? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know what he said to him? He said, because of your payments, do you know what happened to those three that night? The one lady who commit zina said, look at my Lord. I disobey him. He keeps giving me more. I have decided that I'm going to stop. And this I'm going to use as capital. And I'm going to find myself a husband who I can live my life properly with. The second person who was a thief said, my Lord keeps giving me through people. And I keep stealing. From now on, I'm never going to steal from anyone. I'm going to start a new life. The third one, the wealthy one, hadn't paid zakat since the verses of zakat had been revealed. That person said, my Lord keeps giving. And when he asks me for something wajib to be paid back, I don't. How can I have that type of agreement with my Lord? He keeps giving and I don't pay back my wajibat. We all have khums to pay. Some of us have wajib zakat to pay, but we don't pay it. We make a million excuses. He said, how can I? He said that now I'm going to change. He said, oh Ali, from your payments, three people's lives have been changed and an ayah of the Quran has been revealed. So you see another ayah in honor of the generosity of Imam Ali. Look how many verses in the Quran just about this man's generosity. If you're a Shia of Ali, then generosity has to be your character. Don't be those, every time you take them to a restaurant, wallah, I've lost my wallet. Every time you take them to a restaurant, wallah, I have to go and take a call. At the moment the bill comes, he needs to take a call. Baba, what is it? There's a connection between the bill and the call? And you'll always find that the ones who keep receiving are the ones who sweat the most when it comes to paying. And the ones who live steady lives are the more generous ones. Sometimes the richer, the stingier. Let's be clear about that. The richer, sometimes the stingier. And sometimes you find people living on that which is basic, but their heart is a heart of gold. There's something basic they're living on, but their heart is a heart of gold. Don't look at the poor and think that the poor are unhappy, for there are many in the poor who are content. And don't look at the rich and think that they're all happy, for many of them would want to be receiving the contentment that those others have as a true wealth for themselves. Which other ayah, another ayah, was that ayah which connected him with Fatima, his beloved, and with Imam al-Hasan and with Imam al-Husayn salawatullah wa salamu alayhim, upon the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi? What was the ayah? Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Husayn, how close they were to their father. They had felt unwell. When they felt unwell, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi said to Bibi Fatima, said to Imam Ali, what's wrong with my beloved Hasan and Husayn? Said unwell. Said, then make a mannat, make a nidhr. What is the vow? Make a nidhr that if they get better, you will fast for 3 days in a row. Fast for 3 days in a row. We are about 35, 45 minutes away from iftar, if I got my time correct. Maybe about 45 minutes away from iftar. I'm starving. I'm thirsty. If iftar time comes and someone knocks at my door when I'm about to break my fast and says to me, do you mind if I have all your munch? Part of me will be like, well, this person's in need. Another part, I'll be thinking, what's the nearest delivery company for me to get my meal? But in those days, there is delivery companies at Medina High Street. Can you go and get yourself a KFC? Can you go and get yourself a Pizza Hut? Can you get yourself something? They made a nidhr that we will fast. Why? If Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Husayn are cured. Because it hurt Amir al-Mu'mineen seeing the pain on the face of Hassan and Hussein. And so they made that nidr. They got better. That day they're fasting. They're breaking their iftar. You break your iftar in the hope that what? Now we're going to have our good munch. Knock. Who is it? I'm a miskeen. Oh, Al Muhammad. I have nothing. Straight away, all of the iftar given. Never will you see selflessness, charity, generosity like this man. Next day, about to break the fast, knock, knock. Who is it? I'm a yatim, orphan. And for him, orphans was a soft spot. Allah, Allah, bil aytam. And for him, the masakeen was a soft spot. Don't let someone in Kufa be hungry in the night. One of you go and look after him. Third one, knocking. Who is it? They're 3 days in a row. You're about to have iftar, someone knocks. I am an asir, a captive. And I have nothing to eat. They gave away. When they gave away, did Allah reveal an ayah? Of course he did. Which ayah did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal? Surah 76, verse number 8. When the ayah said, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. They give away food out of the love for it towards the needy and the orphan and the captives. Why do they do it? إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We do it for the pleasure of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We don't want from you any reward. We don't want any thankfulness. Enough for us is that Allah is pleased. And that should be our philosophy as well. That when we want to give away, like, as Shi'at Amir al-Mu'mineen, our philosophy, for the pleasure of Allah. You say thank you to me, you reward me, you award me, you congratulate me. Wherever there is a cause to help people, then let me be there. That day when that ayah was revealed, who was there from Ashab al-Kisa? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was there. Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam was there. Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. Imam al-Husayn and Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. On a night like this, on the streets of Kufa, who remains out of that kisa? Only two remain, Hassan and Hussein. And he had made it clear to them, my sons, make sure that you bury me secretly. Imagine, the man who used to give charity secretly had to be buried secretly. One of the biggest insults in Islamic history is that nobody knew where Imam Ali alayhi salam was buried for over 90 years. Because Abd al-Shaytan ibn Muljam and all of them were part of the Khawarij. And these Khawarij had made a point that if we find Ali's body, we will dig it out and burn it. So what happened? Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen told Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Hussein, if this strike of ibn Muljam kills me, then make sure that you bury me secretly. There is a grave which is prepared for me. A grave which is prepared for me by Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. Imagine, Ali ibn Abi Talib's grave is prepared by who? By a prophet of Allah like Nuh alayhi salam. Because who do we know is buried next to Imam Ali? Who are the neighbors of Imam Ali? Nabi Adam and Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. And that's why the narrations mentioned to us, he said to them, my dear Hassan and Hussein, bury me secretly. Bury me secretly in the middle of the night. Don't let anyone know where I'm buried. Look after your sisters Zainab and Kulthum. Protect all of your siblings one by one. That night Zainab called out, let me see my father one final time before you take him. And when you give him ghusl, when you give him ghusl, touch his body softly. Don't put any pain towards my father when you wash his body. For Zainab, it was difficult. She was in tears. She had broken down because she knew that she won't see her father anymore. For Malik al-Maut, it was difficult. How do I take the soul of Ali ibn Abi Talib? Having just taken the soul of Fatima al-Zahra and having taken the soul of Rasulullah, even for the angel of death, it was difficult for him. That night they took the janazah, they took the body of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they took him towards the land of Najaf. When they were burying him, Aba Abdullah broke down in tears, seeing his father lowered into the earth. Imam al-Hasan broke down, the rest of the family of Rasulullah. One by one of those who were present broke down when they saw Amir al-Mu'mineen lowered into the ground. I say to him, Aba Abdullah, what strength you had to lower each of Ashab al-Kisa into the ground. One day you lowered Rasulullah, another day you lowered your mother Fatima, another day your father, and another day Hassan. Of all of these, Ya Aba Abdullah, which one was the hardest for you to lower? Your mother, your father, your grandfather, or your brother? I have a feeling he might turn around and say to me, I, these bodies, at least I lowered them. Abbas's body I had to leave on the ground. At least those bodies I lowered them one by one. Abel Fadl's body I left by the Furat with no one to bury him. They lowered the body of Amir al-Mu'mineen. It was difficult for Imam al-Hassan, for Imam al-Hussein. They were walking back towards their house. As they were getting closer, they saw an old man sitting on the streets of Kufa. All of you know where I'm heading with this story. And they saw an old man sitting on the streets of Kufa. That man was calling out, is there anyone to help me? Where is that man who would help me every night? Imam al-Hassan came and sat next to him. He said to him, what is it? He looked towards the Imam. He said to him, every night in the holy month of Ramadan, one man would come and feed me while I'd be here alone. But for three nights, that man hasn't come back. I'm in pain. I wanted to see that man one more time. Can you imagine the heartbreak of Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam when he saw the way the man described his father? He broke down. Imam al-Hussein broke down. When they returned home, can you imagine Zainab waiting for them at the door? Zainab alayhi salam was waiting. How did you have the strength to bury my father tonight? Tell me, was his body buried in the nicest way? She was there, she was waiting for them. That night Zainab cried uncontrollably, but there is a difference about tonight. Tonight when she cries uncontrollably, she was at peace crying uncontrollably. She would sit there, she would cry, but she didn't fear anyone slapping her when she cried. She didn't fear anyone hitting her if she cried. She didn't fear anyone kicking her if she cried. Come with me to the streets of Kufa only 20 years later and see them slap Zainab because she cried. Come with me to Sham and look at the way they kicked Kulthum because she cried. Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, come with me. Come after Karbala and see your granddaughters. Every time they'd shed a tear, they'd call out, Fidda, Fidda, why do they hit us in this way?
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ya Allah, raise us with Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Allow us to perform the ziyarah of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and allow us to receive his shafa'ah, Ya Allah. For the originators of this majlis, bless them and allow them to receive the intercession of Muhammad and Al Muhammad. Ya Allah, the land of Najaf, allow us to perform the ziyarah of the land of Najaf very soon. There are many who are feeling unwell, or they have relatives who are feeling unwell. One of our good friends, his mother is facing difficulties with her breathing at the moment. Another of our good friends, their grandmother has COVID and is facing difficulties as well. Let us all raise our hands in dua, wherever you may be. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. All of us together. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. Ya Allah, in the name of the one who was ill in Karbala, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, cure all of our beloved ones. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the Surah al-Fatiha for all of our marhumin. But before it, the loudest of your salawat to welcome our respected mullah. Allah.
As-salamu alayka ya amir al-mu'mineen. As-salamu alayka ya حسن روحي وارواحنا لك الفدا يا شهيد يا مسموم يا المرتضى. On a night like this, on a night like this, we take our hearts towards the holy city of Najaf. On a night like this, we join the grief and mourn with Lady Zainab. Not long ago, she had seen the attack on the house of Zahra and the broken ribs of her mother. And today Zainab is now grieving for Haydar Ali, her father. Narrations say that during the final moments from the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali will begin speaking to his sons Hassan, Hussein and Umm al-Baneen. Imam Ali will begin speaking to them with his final wishes, for there is not long to go before Amir al-Mu'mineen departs from this world. He will tell his son Hassan, after I go, you will be the one who will pray on my janazah. Be patient, my son, for there will be many trials that will come your way. He will tell Hussein, Bunay Hussein, look after your brother Al-Hassan, as you will be the one who will wash and pray over his holy body. Oh Hussein, there will also come a day where you will be left all alone in Karbala, and I can see your sacred head raised high on his Lady Zainab can now see and hear her father in conversation with her brothers. Father Amir al-Mu'mineen, why do you speak like this? Imam Ali would look at Lady Zainab and say, my daughter Zainab, come closer to me. Hold your tears back, oh my beloved daughter. Your tears are causing me extreme pain and only increase me in my agony. Father, how can I not shed these tears, hearing you speak of what is to become and witnessing what the enemy has done this to you? Ya Ali, I can't bear to see you in this state. Zainab will look at Al-Hassan and say, oh brother Hassan, why is the color on my father's face changing? Oh Hussein, how deep is my father's wound that it won't stop from bleeding? Zainab can see that Imam Ali, the poison is now overtaking him. It is said this is where Amir al-Mu'mineen now goes into conversation with his beloved daughter Zainab. Father, oh Father, who had struck your head? Father, oh Father, I wish it were me instead. instead. I can't bear to see you in agony. Hold my hand, Father, talk to me. Do not leave me here, for I cannot bear to lose you, Father, talk to me. Amir al-Mu'minin replies to Zainab and says, Zainab, my daughter, come closer to me. Hold back your tears, for your cries, they pain me. My beloved daughter, listen to my words. Get your heart ready for the coming years. There will come a day where I want you brave in Karbala on the day of Ashura. Your eyes will witness pain and misery, trials upon trials that will come your way. You will see Abbas with no hands. You will see Hussein with no head. You will see Abbas with no hands. You will see Hussein with no head. You will lose all of your loved ones. So for me, don't let your tears shed. This will be my final farewell. This will be my final farewell. Zainab, I know in me you dwell. What's in your heart, daughter, I can tell. Zainab, I bid you farewell. Imam Ali now takes his final breath and departs from this world. Lady Zainab, witnessing this moment, looks towards her brother and says, Ali's gone, Ali's gone. Oh, Hassan and Hussein, our father's gone. Ali's gone, Ali's gone. How could this be that our father's gone? Who'll stop my tears? I'll cry for years. My heart will beat, Ya Ali, till I die. Now Ali's gone, I've become numb. How I wish, Father, that death had lied. How I wish, Father, that death had lied. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answer all your hajat, inshaAllah, and bless your tears that you shed with Lady Zainab tonight in mourning for her father, Amir al-Mu'mineen, inshaAllah. We now start with the English eulogy, صلى على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. فارول حيدر فولو ماي فاذر فارول حيدر ايم زينب يودوتا فارول حيدر فولو ماي فاذر فوال حيدر عايم زي نبي أدوتا Life has no meaning without you For you are my joy as I grew فوال حيدر فوال My father, just yesterday I had witnessed you cry and mourn for my mother, and here today with sorrow I say that I shed tears for you, father. If only I could bring back time to the moment of that prayer as you said Allahu Akbar whilst praying in the mosque of Kufa I will place my head near your head As Ibn Muljim yields out his sword And close the wound from where you bled With my hands as you meet your Lord With my hands as you meet How could they dare to strike your head, Ali? Have they no fear of judgment day, Ali? Your absence has broken my heart. I thought nothing takes us apart. Farewell, Haydar. Wallow my father, farewell, Haydar, farewell. The orphans ask from dawn till dusk, where has Haydar Ali gone? They all cry out with broken hearts, when will Haydar Ali come? And like them I cry out, Father, along with Hassan and Hussein, who will extinguish our fire, our lives filled with so much pain, the pain of your wound and poison, and the absence of your embrace. They call me Zainab the orphan, in Ya Ali, oh, all of this I face. They call me Zainab the Orphan. Ya Ali, oh, all of this I face. How could they kill God's best of creation? They waited until you went in prostration with the sword that struck your head. I wish it were me instead, with the sword that struck your head. I wish it were me instead. Farewell, Haidar. Farewell, oh my father. Farewell, Haidar. The father, don't leave, stay with me. Give me your hand, hold on to me. I am Zainab, can you hear me? I am Zainab, can you hear me? Why won't you stand and embrace me? Father, why does your color change? Is it because your wounds open? Father, why are both your eyes shut? Father, my heart you have stolen. And beside me I see Zahra standing with her ribs broken. And beside me I see Zahra standing with her ribs broken. She tells me, Zainab, my daughter, now Ali's gone, we're all orphans. Mother Zahra, my heart they have taken. With all this grief, mother, I'm left shaken. Who will come and soothe my heart now that we're all worlds apart? Who will come and soothe my heart now that we're all worlds apart? Farewell, Haidar. Farewell, oh my father. Louder. Farewell, Haidar. Farewell, oh my father. One more time. Farewell. Let lomoni, lo fadat dam'ati ayuni. Let lomoni, sotek, let lomoni, let lomoni. لو فاضت دمعاتي عيوني لا تلوموني زينب انا وتلهب ناري لا تلوموني بدمع الجاري طاحت حدار طاح داري خل اجري المدمع خلوني تلوموني لا تلوموني لا تلوموني لا تلوموني لو فاضت دمعات عيوني لا تلوموني حيدار مصيوب بمحرابه واهتز العالم اللي مصابه حذر مصيوب بمحرابه واهتز العالم اللي مصابه يا ريت السيف اللي صابه صوابني وميت لجفوني لا تلوموني لا تلوموني لو فاضت دمعات عيوني لا تلوموني لا تلوموني لا تلوموني لو فاضت دمعات عيوني لا تلوموني مظلومة وصابة ودلالي عقب الولي تغير حالي ريت الولي ريت الولي عيش بدالي يا ريت بدالي دفنوني يا ريت يسودني بقبره يا ريت يوسدوني بقبره ولا شوف انبع عيوني الطبره والفجعوني بموت الزهره والفجعوني بموت الزهره هالليله بحذر فجعوني تهدمت والله اركان الهدى تهدمت والله هدى تهدمت والله تهدمت والله الهدى تهدمت والله هدى عليا وعليا وعليا يا عليا وعليا وعليا يلعن الله على من ظلموك يا علي لعن الله على من ظلموا يا علي لعنة الله على من ظلموك يا علي لعنة الله يا علي لعنة الله على من ظلموك يا علي إلهنا نسألك وندعوك ونقسم عليك بحب خلق إليك محمد وآله أن تقضي حوائجنا يا الله يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اغضل الكفر والكافرين اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج واجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه ومن المستشهدين بين يدي وعلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات نهدي لهم جميع صورة مباركة الفاتحة تسبقها الصلوات Yeah.